Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us again for another Friday evening Bible study. It is always a blessing when we can come to you in this fashion and in this form, and it's always pleasing to the Lord to know that we have the opportunity to share His Word. I mean, God is so good because He could have called angels to do this work. He could have, you know, called probably people who are better than you and I to be a part of this work, but somehow and some way in His divine plan, He made it possible so that you and I are, you know, can be a part of the work of spreading the gospel. And I just want to thank you for listening in, because I want you to know that what we are doing here is not only just something that I am doing from this end or, you know, the other speakers that come on, but you are very much a part of it, because this is a study that would not be possible or would not be here today, we would not be on, if we had no one calling in and joining us and being a part of what we do every day. So I just want to thank you for listening, and I want to say welcome to another Friday evening Bible study. I am so happy again for our co-host, Sister Jackie Grace, and I know she is here with us. And Jackie, I just want to say welcome to you. And I pray that the Lord would bless you as you share with us some of your thoughts and some of what the Lord has laid upon your heart today. Today, our topic is entitled True Love. True Love. And we're going to look at a very interesting story in the Bible, a story that took some twists and turns if we really look at it and see how the Lord would have us do or be as His people. See how what kind of a servant He would have us to be if we are His people. So as Jackie is getting ready to do our thoughts, I just want to introduce the program by saying we are, or as God's children, are we growing in His grace every day? We know that we are His children. We know that He loves us, but are we growing in His grace? Well, today we are going to try to answer that question as we look at this topic, true love. And that is a very important question. You see, it is easy when you look at a story and you can identify in the characters of the story who the good guy is and who the bad guy is. And then, you know, it's easy for us to side with the good guy when we find this out, and then we can rebuke the bad guys. But today we're going to look at a story in which the villains, you know, are not the ones who did something bad. They were villains, but they didn't do anything bad. But they are villains because they had an opportunity to do something good, but they did not do it. Isn't that something? They had an opportunity to go, but they did not do it. And so we're talking about true love. That's the topic. And also we're going to try to answer the question as to who should we help? I mean, among all the people that cry for our assistance every day, I mean, you look on the media and you see people overseas in Africa and all over the place that need help. You look right over here in our country and you get right now, this October, you have the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and, you know, people there are asking for help, and all the other foundations that are calling for help and looking for assistance, and we are flooded with you know, sometimes we can be overwhelmed with who should we help, who should we give our assistance to. And we are going to try to look at that, you know, and to see if we can find an answer to that question today. So again, like I said, our topic is true love, and I'm your presenter. I'm going to be the one speaking today, Elder Donald Rettimeyer, as well as I'm going to host along with Sister Jackie Grace. She's my co-host now, and it's a title I hope I am just, you know, conferring upon Jackie right now, and I'm just hoping that she would accept it. She didn't say that she accepted it as yet, but I'm just hoping that she did by now. So, Jackie, I'm going to have you speak in a little while, but I just want everyone to know that is listening in, that have tuned in, that we're happy to have you here, and we pray that God would bless you. And just be prepared to ask a question or to give an input at the end of the presentation, at the end of the study. If you have any questions, if you have a prayer request or anything like that, we will be glad to answer. Today, our pastors are off. They might be joining us online. I haven't seen any of them as yet. But I am here with you, and I am happy to be able to present. My name, again, is Donald Rettimeyer, and I'm the host. I'm the representative here in the state of Georgia for Christian Record Services for the Blind. And this particular study is geared towards people who are blind and visually impaired, but we invite everyone from everywhere to join and to be a part of us. So if you have a friend and you know someone who would like to be a part of a study and learn more about the Bible, you can invite them, you know, whether they're visually impaired or not. They can come and be with us. And with that being said, Jackie, I want to say welcome and good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Donald, and to everybody else that are here. What a beautiful topic you have for today about love. You know,
amen.
I pray that it will stir somebody's heart to love our neighbors, because as you was asking the question, you know, where should we start first? I think everything starts at home, you know, because if I can't love right in my household, how can I go abroad? How can I stretch my hands to somebody outside of my household? So everything starts at home, you know, and I think this topic will illustrate us today, and hope everyone had a wonderful week and looking forward to even a blessed and better one. And I also wanted to say, Donald, if you did serve somebody's spirit here this day, pray for the people in the path of the hurricane Patricia, which they said is supposed to be one of the worst one ever in history.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that on the news. And yes, indeed, we could. You know what, Jackie? Since I'm going to be presenting the study today, why don't you do the prayer after you finish speaking? We're going to pray a song, and then we're going to have prayer, and I'll have you. Or you know what? I'll do the opening prayer, and then in the closing prayer, I'll have you do the closing prayer, and then we'll pray for the hurricane at that time. How about that?
That sounds like a go.
Right. Amen. All right. So is there anything else you would like to share before we do our opening song, our special music?
You know, the passage that you said we'll be teaching from today is the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, we look at this. It said at this time, the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't get along too well. You know, but if we look our life today, it shouldn't be like that with us, you know? We should love everybody because Jesus set that example. He didn't die
Amen.
Just for one person or just for the people who he was with at that time, the Jews. We are thankful that we are grafted in as Gentiles. And, you know, we should love everybody, never mind what the person looks like, what their position, social status, you know.
Yes.
We should have that agape love. And to remember, we cannot love people on our own. It's the love that is enough, Jesus' love, that allow us to love each other. So I'm just thankful because it's also demonstrate of what Christ did for us. You know, we were wounded. We were doomed. But when Christ died on that old rugged cross, is a new life for us. So praise God and pray that somebody's spirit will stir today to love each other as ourselves, you know, because I can't say I love God and think, oh, how I love Jesus, if I can't love my neighbors, you know. So,
Amen.
I just want to say that.
Yeah, that is very true. Sometimes it's easy to talk the talk, but then when it comes to walk the walk, it's another story, you know. It's another story. We all can talk love, but when it comes to really express love and to live love and to show love, sometimes it is not that easy to do. But nevertheless, today we are gonna look at this topic of the Good Samaritan. And again, like I said, the title of this study is True Love. And we'll see what the Lord has in store for us. So I'm going to play a song, and it's entitled at this time, Walking in Sunlight. Because if we are walking with Jesus and we are following his love, we will be indeed walking in the sunlight and not in darkness. So listen up and be blessed.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey. Said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never shall fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am and God. He is my light in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his
Amen. Praise the Lord. And that was from the men of Israel. Let us bow our heads in prayer as we talk to the Lord. Eternal Father, we thank you just for the privilege to be here this afternoon. I thank you for all our listeners that have joined us, and I pray that you may rain down blessings upon each and every one of us. Help us that by your grace, that at the end of this study, we will all learn and get a glimpse of what true love is all about. And then we will dedicate our lives to be surrendered to you so that you can work in us both to will and to do according to your good pleasure. Thank you so much for Sister Jackie and for all the others that are on the line today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm reading from the book of Luke, and that's where our story is coming from, the Luke, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to read basically the setting, how everything started. That is from verse 25 through 29. It will give you an idea how this parable came about, how Jesus came to talk about the parable. And then the parable itself is from verses 30 through 37 of Luke 10. So I'm going to read the first part, and you'll get a background as to what happened while Jesus told this parable. And it says here, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? He, the lawyer, answering, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? So Jesus told him that, you know, he's the one who answered. Jesus asked him what is written in the law. He was asking what should he do to inherit eternal life. Jesus asked him what is written in the law. And he said, this is the answer he gave. He said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. And that covered the first four of the Ten Commandments right there. The Ten Commandments is all about love. And so the first four commandments deals with love towards God. That's what it deals with. And so when he answered that question, that is what he was saying there. Love the Lord thy God with all your soul and heart and mind and strength. And then the last six of the commandments deals with loving your neighbor. And so he just condensed it. He says, And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so in giving that answer, he covered the entire Ten Commandments. And Jesus was pleased with the answer because Jesus said, thou answer right. Jesus said, just do this and you will have, you know, eternal life. It says, but the lawyer, willing to justify himself, turned to Jesus and he asked the question. He says, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Right? So Jesus turned to him, and Jesus, instead of answering that question outright, Jesus told him the parable. And this is the parable of the Good Samaritan. To answer the question as to who is my neighbor, Jesus said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise a Levite, and when he was at the place, came and looked on him that fell among thieves, and then passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took 2 pence, and gave it to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou, Jesus is asking the question, Jesus said, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Verse 37. And he, that's the lawyer, said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus to him, go and do thou likewise. And that's the parable of the Good Samaritan. What we see here is that the story said, or Jesus said in this parable, and the parable is just an earthly story to teach us heavenly lesson or teach something that would help us to know more about what Jesus himself is doing and what he came to do. So oftentimes he just used these parables, which are just earthly stories, so that they can teach a heavenly lesson or an eternal lesson. So let's see what Jesus is trying to teach here. And he says that a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and most likely, and he fell among thieves. So he became a victim, right? And most likely this man that was traveling was a Jew himself. And, you know, by chance, it says, after this man fell among thieves and the thieves wounded him and beat him up and stripped him of his raiment and robbed him, and they left him there, and Jesus said he was left there half dead. So he was laying on the ground. I guess he was bleeding. He was half naked, half dead, you know, had nothing and no way to help himself. He was totally, you know, helpless as he lay there, just waiting to die, so to speak. And then verse 31 says, and by chance came down a certain priest. Now, the priest, as we know, are those who lead out in the church. All right? The priest was one of the ones who would take care of the services in the church, and they would do the offerings, and they would burn the incense and all these different things. That was what the priest normally did in the temple, in the church service. And so this man should have been a godly man, and most likely he should be someone who would have some kind of a compassion in his heart. But Jesus said, as he came upon the man and he saw the man lying there, he did not even stop to see if he can help the man. He just passed on the other side and he just kept going. Most likely he had work to do in the temple, and he probably figured that if this man was dead, then he would be, and he tried to help the man and he touched the man, then he would be, he himself would be defiled and he would become unclean and he wouldn't be able to do his functions in the church. You know, he wouldn't be able to take care of the service. And so he just passed by on the other side rather than help. He didn't even stop. But what we know is that he identified this man that was there, and he identified this man as a victim, and he identified this man as probably, you know, being someone who was in trouble. Because when he saw the man, it says that he passed on the other side, so he had to move over from where he was going. The man was lying in his path. And instead of stepping over the man or something like that, or stopping and help, he just decided to pass on the other side. He moved over to the other side of the road, and he just kept going. So there was a problem. This priest identified the problem, but he did nothing else. Passed by, and he just, as the parable said, he kept going. For a man of God, seeing a problem, he kept going. Maybe he thought that if this man fell among thieves and thieves rob him and beat him up and leave him there, maybe the thieves might want to rob me if I should stop and help. Maybe that was what was going through his mind. I don't know. But what I do know is that most times if a thief do something or robbers, they rob somebody or something like that, after they have done their deed, their nasty deed, so to speak, they would get out of there. They wouldn't stick around. So for the most part, you would find if there's a victim somewhere, that the perpetrator would normally try to get out of there because they don't want people to identify them as the one who committed the crime. And so they would try to get away. But, you know, this priest, I don't know if he was thinking that he might still be in danger or whatever, but he just stepped to the other side and he kept going. So he identified the problem, but he did nothing else about it. Then it says, likewise, Jesus says, came a Levite. And now the Levites, they were the ones that used to teach the people. They were also men of God. They used to teach people about God and his law and all the rest of it. And they also worked with the priests and, you know, and do the temple work. But he saw the problem. It says, when he came to the place where the man was, he looked on him. He just didn't step on the other side like the priest did. And then kept going. But he stopped and he looked to see what was going on. It says, and then he passed by on the other side. So at least he didn't just identify the problem. We know that the priest identified the problem and kept going. The Levite came, he identified the problem, and he showed an interest in the problem because at least he stopped and he looked. But even though he showed an interest in the problem, he did not do anything to help the man. The man was still there after he passed by, still left there to die, you know. And the Levite, like the priest, just kept going and left the poor man there. Maybe he too thought that if he probably helped the man and then the man died while he was helping him, he would be defiled and then wouldn't be able to do his work in the temple. So he didn't want to have to deal with that. He thought that being a good servant of God meant to be able to get to church and do what you have to do in church. Now, many of us think that way, you know. That is what we might prioritize, that doing things for God, and sometimes we find ourselves doing a whole lot for God, and which is good, and that's all right. But then the commandments, as Jesus said there, and as the lawyer had rightly said, yes, we love the Lord our God with all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. But then the other part of it says that we should love our neighbor also as ourselves, you know. But then the question becomes then, who is my neighbor? Who is this person that I should love like myself? So we see that the priest didn't think that a victim lying on the road was a person that he should love like himself. Neither did the Levi, because they both passed this man and they went by. They kept going. And then this is the big twist in the story here. It says, after the priest passed by and the Levi passed by, it says, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where this victim was. It says, and when he saw him, he did not pass by on the other side, or he did not just stop and look. He did not just identify the problem, which he did identify the problem, but he did not only identify it. He did not only show an interest in the problem, but he went a little further than just identifying and showing an interest. He also decided to do something what the priest and the Levite didn't do. He decided to help. In other words, he saw the man there. He saw the man indeed in need. And the Bible says, or Jesus said in this parable, he says that when he went over to him, because when he saw him, he had compassion on him. That's the Good Samaritan. He went to him and he bound up his wound and he poured oil in it and he set him on his beast and brought him to him. And took care of him. And he spent the entire day, the rest of the day there, and all night until the next day, just trying to make sure that this man would be okay and that this man would live and not die. Isn't that incredible? So the Good Samaritan here, and by the way, like I said before, the victim was more than likely a Jew or a Hebrew. But then came the Samaritans, and if you know the history between the Jews and the Samaritans, for hundreds of years, they had bitter hatred going between them. The Jews and the Samaritans just didn't deal with each other. They hated each other. And if you should read that the book of John in chapter 4, you would find out that normally, like when a Jew is traveling from, I think, from Jerusalem to Jericho or somewhere like that, but somewhere they would, and they had, if they were on their journey, they had to pass through the Samaritan village. Instead of passing through the Samaritan's village, they would normally walk around, which was a much longer walk because in those days they had no cars or anything like that, but they would normally walk around the Samaritan village just so that they don't have to deal with the Samaritans. They never liked each other. But here we saw that this Samaritan man, and before I get back to him, in John chapter 4, where Jesus, we saw that Jesus one day was doing the same journey, and instead of walking around the Samaritan village, Jesus decided to walk through the Samaritan village, and he met with a Samaritan woman, and he started to talk to her, and she was surprised that Jesus would stop and talk to her, because she said, you know, the Jews don't talk to Samaritans. And not only that, in those days that the Jews didn't talk to Samaritans, but men didn't talk to women in public openly like that. You know, and so for him to stop and to talk to her, but Jesus just was showing that he was not just the God or the Savior for the Jews and the, you know, the Hebrews, but he was God for everybody, and he wanted to save everybody. So that was just one story with that. But I'm just trying to show that the Samaritans and the Hebrews never got along, really, as a people. But here, this Samaritan man, even though he saw this man, and most likely this man was a Jew, he decided to stop. He had compassion on him, and he did what the other two, the priest and the Levi, didn't do. He got involved by trying to help, because there was a man indeed, the man was there dying, and his thing was that even more important than what he himself had to do was the most important thing at that time was to take care of this victim. Now, I want you to know that when the Samaritan left home that day on his journey, I bet he never had in mind that he was going to run into somebody. He was leaving to go to do whatever he had to do to take care of his own business, and he was just traveling on his way, not expecting that he was going to meet somebody there that was lying, that was going to, you know, need his help, and that he would have to stop and use up his goods to help the man. But just because he had this thing, what we call compassion in him, and just because he had what we would call true love in him, he decided that he cannot see someone dying, even though it was his worst enemy. He decided that he was not going to just see this person dying and then just leave them there and keep on going about his own business. So Jesus was trying to get the lawyer to see who was his neighbor. That was the question, who is my neighbor? So the Samaritan stopped, he had compassion on him. The Bible says that he went over to him and he bound up his wounds. That means he was using his own goods, whatever he had, for himself and maybe for his family. Now he was using it on this victim. It says he poured oil and wine on the man, on the victim's wounds. You know? That was his oil. That was his wine, whatever he was going to do with it. And now he's using it to help this victim, right? And it says, and he set him on his own beast. So if he was riding the donkey, now he was going to inconvenience himself. And he put the man on the donkey. And then he brought him to an inn or to a hotel where he can stay and take care of him. And he stood there. So I just want you to see how, what it means or what it takes when you decided to get involved with somebody or with something. I know, Jackie, you're married, but I don't know how many of our other listeners are married. But when you get married to someone, you get involved with that person. Am I right? You get involved, and that's what it means to get involved. When you get involved with someone, it means that you're going to give them not only your time, because this person, if you're going to make that relationship work, you got to give them your time, which is what the Samaritan man ended up doing, because he had to interrupt his journey for one whole day and one whole night because he couldn't continue until the next day when he left the hotel. So he spent his time, he used his goods because he decided to get involved in helping this victim. Not only did he use his goods, and he interrupted his time, which is probably one of the most precious gifts that we can give to anyone, but he also used his own finances, because the man that was the victim was robbed, so he had no money on him, nothing. So the Samaritan now had to pay for the innkeeper. And he didn't only pay for the night that they were there or the day that they were there, but he gave him extra when he was leaving, just in case the man ended up spending longer than the day or two, so that the innkeeper can take care of him until the man can catch himself and then leave and journey to his own home, or to a place where he can get better help, So the Samaritan took care of the present need of the man, and he also took care of future needs by leaving extra money with the innkeeper. He took care of future needs for the man, and then he also made a promise. He says, I'm going to come back this way, and when I come back, if you end up spending more to take care of this man, he says, I will repay you. Isn't that something? But that's what it took. And that's what it takes to get involved. When you get involved with somebody or involved in a situation, it takes just about everything to make a true commitment and to make it work. And I use the example of being involved in a marriage situation. Do you know one of the reasons why so many marriages fail? Is because people get involved, but they don't want to make that total commitment. Yes, they want to stay married, but if you don't want to give your all to the marriage, give your all to the other person that you're going to get involved with, guess what? It's not going to work. And that's not only with marriage, and that's why you find so many marriages, as they say, is on the rocks today. And not only my, but other relationships, and not only relationships, but also other programs that people get involved with. They get involved for a time, and then after a while, they would just cut out because they realize that to be involved is taking much more than what they had anticipated. But guess what? That is what true love is all about. Amen? And Jesus didn't only tell this story to show who we should love and how we should love, but Jesus also told this story to show what kind of a God he was. Amen? When man sinned and we got involved with the devil, so to speak, and the devil knocked us over and robbed us of eternity and leave us bleeding on the roadside, half dead. Do you know that's what the devil did to us when Adam and Eve sinned? Because God said, the day that you sin, right, you're going to surely die. And so after man sinned, they were left there for dead by the devil. Because the wages of sin is death. So the devil is not only a thief and a liar, but he's also a murderer. And this entire universe was destined to die. But God in his love did not just leave us there. He did not act like the priest and the Levi and just see us there in this planet Earth, in our wounded planet that was spinning out of control, destined for eternal doom, and just leave us there. No. But he decided to get involved. And guess what? By getting involved, it took everything. Do you know that to save mankind, God had to give his best gift? In Jesus Christ, that was the best gift that God could have given to this planet to rescue us. But not only did he give his best gift, but he gave his most precious gift. In Jesus Christ, he gave all that he could have given to us, so that we could be brought back from doom to life, from eternal death to eternal life. And then when Jesus came to earth as that precious gift from God, he had to give everything himself. He gave us his time, you know. For 33 and a half years, he walked upon this earth. He thought. He showed us the way, and that's when he gave this parable while he was here. But he didn't only give us his time, he gave also his life for us. That's what it took, because he decided that this planet and you and I were destined to eternal doom. And he said, hey, I'm not going to leave you there, but I'm going to come and I'm going to do something. And so he came and he gave it all to save us. And that is why John 3:16, for God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then his Son came and he gave all that he had, and that was his life, upon a whole rugged cross, so that you and I can be brought back from doom to life. That's what it takes to get involved. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that Jesus Christ got involved. And just like the Good Samaritan, when he was leaving, he left us in an inn. We can call the church the inn, where we're supposed to be taken care of in the church. And there we should have godly teachers and good men of God to teach us and to lead us and to show us how to come out of darkness into eternal life, right? And then when he left, he made a promise. He said, just like the Good Samaritan said, he said, I'm leaving these extra coin and then, you know, these 2 pence. And then if you spend more, I'm going to come back and I'm going to repay you whatever you spent extra. Jesus said, when he was leaving, he said to his disciples, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. He said, you believe in God? He said, believe also in me. In my Father's house, he says, I'm leaving you for a little while. You're going to be in the church, and the church is going to take care of you and is going to help you to heal the wounds and to grow in Christ and to grow in grace. But don't worry about it. He says, I will be back. He says, I go in my Father's house are many mansions, right? John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, right? That's the promise that he left us, so that where I am, there you may be also. My friends, when it comes to the question of who is my neighbor, and the question is, you know, with all the people and all the agencies and all the needs that we have out there and who we should help, right? If we look at this story, what we see here, and you know, if this was a class where I could have seen you, I would have asked you to answer this question, but I'm going to just give the question real quick as we try to wrap up. If we look at this story, what we see here is Jesus didn't only answer the question as to who is my neighbor, but he also talks about here who we should help, who we should help. And what Jesus is saying here, that one of the people, like Jackie rightly said, or persons or organizations that we should help, should be first of all those that are closest to us and are in need, where we see a need right at our door. In other words, if we have needs right close by here, we shouldn't step over or step on the other side and go to try to take care of a need somewhere else. You see what I'm saying? We know we can't take care of every need, but wherever there is somebody that is in a position of want or desperation, and it is within our power to help, we should help. That is what true love is all about. It doesn't matter what is the person's color. That is what Jackie was saying. It doesn't matter what is their religion. It doesn't matter if they're rich or if they're poor. As long as they are in need, that person is our neighbor. And we should do our best to reach out to them and try to supply their needs according to the blessings that the Lord has entrusted us with. Amen? So, in answering the question, after Jesus told the story, Jesus asked him back. Jesus let him answer the question himself. Jesus says, which of the three thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he answered and said, him that showed mercy upon the victim. Now he was asking, who is my neighbor? And Jesus turned it around and says the question that he should ask him is not who is my neighbor, but who am I a neighbor to? The Good Samaritan didn't wait to get someone by his side or someone who's living next door to him to help, but he was being a neighbor to the person who he saw in need. Every day as we go through life, as we close, we are going to encounter people, and many of us might think that, oh, I'm so bad, things are so bad with me, I'm so bad, but guess what? You know, I'm in such a bad position. Every day, we will find people that are worse off than we are. Isn't that something? Every day, we're going to find people that are really in need, that we can help. And the Lord, just like this priest and this Levi, might put them in our path or might cause us to pass by that way where these people are. Instead of just stepping over on the other side, why don't we whisper a prayer in our hearts and then ask the Lord, Lord, how can I help? How can I be a neighbor to him or her or those people that I see around me that are in need every day? My friends, as God's children, we are not only admonished to love God with all our hearts and all our strength, and when it says all our heart there, it means, you know, all our will, right? And then it says all our heart, our will, you know, all our soul, that's our emotions, all our strength, that's our, you know, energy, all our mind, that's our faculties. We're not only admonished to love God with, you know, like that, but we are also admonished to love our neighbor. Just the things that we would want people to do for us. If we were the victim and we were lying there, we would gladly, you know, welcome someone who would come and help us. So the things that you would, you know, like to happen to you and the things that you would desire, so to speak, for yourselves, then we should always think about granting that same favor and doing that same thing for others, especially those who are in need around us. And I know I've said a lot, so I'm going to stop right here. And I'm going to open the lines for a few minutes so that anyone who would like to make a comment or ask a question or anything like that can do that right now. All right, I'm opening the lines. And so if you would like to ask something, you can just, you know, go ahead and just say who you are and identify yourself, and then just let us know if you have a prayer request or anything like that. Sister Jackie's going to be praying, or a comment. Just let us know at this time. The lines are open, so go ahead. Feel free to talk. I don't want to call any names, so I'm just giving you the opportunity to do so. Anyone can come in at this time. I know there was a lot said. While someone might be thinking about asking, I just want you to know that here on this study, we are a family. So don't be afraid. We are a family. We are, what I must say, one in Christ. Amen? So I want you to feel free to speak. I want you to feel free to interact with us and to know that here we love you, we love each other, and we care about you. And your feedback, you know, or questions really would help us as we continue to do this study. So any comments at this time before I ask Jackie to say something and then to do our closing prayer?
Praise God. My name is Frances.
Hello, Sister
and
Frances.
And I thank God for my being here today. And I do feel much better.
Praise the Lord.
I wasn't feeling too good last Friday. But I enjoyed the lesson. It was real good. And that's what we are supposed to do. We're supposed to fulfill the need that's at hand.
Amen.
With our time and talent and means. Whatever the problem is, you know, sometimes we pass by the situation trying to get somewhere else, and we miss a lot of blessings like that.
That's right.
And
where
Jesus said for us to go and do likewise as the Good Samaritan had done, that's the way we are supposed to do. And everybody is our neighbor. It's not just one or two of the people that live next door. It's everyone. So I enjoyed the lesson, and I thank God for it, that we are to show love, and I thank God for the ultimate sacrifice that he gave us, our Lord and Savior. And the lesson was very good, and I enjoyed the way you explained it. And glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Sister Frances, I'm glad that you're feeling better today.
Yes.
It's good to hear that. And we will continue to pray for you as you continue to pray for us. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Anyone else? Mm-hmm. We still have a few more minutes. And I know we have some new callers. We have a lot of folks on the line, and some people I think I recognize also, but I don't want to call your name. I want to give you a chance to speak at this time. So go ahead.
I'd just like to say hello.
Hello,
Mike,
welcome.
In North Carolina.
Amen.
And Miss Jackie invited me in for the first time today, and I've really enjoyed what I've heard.
Yeah, Mike, well, I just want to welcome you also. I know I did see a new number there, so I was just wondering who it was, and so I'm glad that you're here with us. From North Carolina.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
God bless. Welcome, brother.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for that.
Good evening. My name is Anne, and I want to thank you for the study.
Amen. Welcome, Anne.
I want to thank God also for loving me and making a way for me to come back to him. I thank him for messages like this that remind us that Jesus didn't just save us, but he wants us to demonstrate that by loving, demonstrate our salvation in him by loving each other. Not just by, I'm saved, and sit down with it. But we are admonished to love each other, love our neighbor. And I thank him for stories like these where he, you know, encourages us and admonishes us to do like he did. Amen.
Yeah. Praise Amen. God. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And appreciate those comments. And we'll take one more, even a prayer request at this time. You know, I just want to say that these men, as they passed by, I'm talking about the priest and the Levite, they probably had legitimate reasons as to why, you know, they passed by on the other side and why they refused. You know, maybe they thought that they had to get to the religious service on time, and they, you know, maybe they played an important part. They're definitely in their service, so they want to get there. They probably were concerned, like I said, about becoming unclean and not being able to function and all the rest of it, you know. And they might be or might have been legitimate reasons. But what Jesus wanted us to learn here, what Jesus wanted us to learn here is that things and, you know, what I must say, yeah, things that we have to do and other things that we might consider so important and you know, our office or our job or whatever, these things, you know, for some people, their cars or their homes, they are never more important than people. Things are never more important than people. So whenever we see someone that, you know, is in need, we have to always keep that in mind. You know, weigh what you are doing or what you are going to take care of against what is happening to the person who, you know, the Lord has placed in your path to help along the way. So these are just, you know, something to keep in mind as we go along and you know, to show that mercy and sacrifice, you know, are the things that Jesus says that he holds much higher than just, you know, being able to go and do what you do, because he says, there was somewhere, I can't put my hands on it, but he says, I require or I desire mercy over things like sacrifice. You know, the Jews thought that they had to sacrifice and do things like that in the church and in the temple, and those things were more important than being compassionate and loving to their fellow human being. But Jesus said, no, people are always more important. All right. One more comment, if anyone is there, wants to say something or a prayer request, and then Sister Jackie, I'll turn it all over to you. Any comment? Prayer? All right. No request? All right. We'll just keep Sister Francis in prayer. I also want to keep Brother Mike in prayer. Thank you for joining us from North Carolina. And I don't think I see any other new persons, but all the other listeners, just pray for each and every one of us. And keep Sister Katie Aaron. I just want you to remember that name. Just keep her in prayer. And just keep the ministry that we're doing in prayer, Sister Jackie, and pray that God may continue to guide and direct as we continue to be faithful to his work. All right? I'm going to play Blessed Assurance, and then at the end of this song, Jackie, you're going to do the close. You're going to close out the program for today.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God.
right, Sister Jackie, you can go ahead.
You know, as you was mentioning that we should show some compassion, I look at this passage in Lamentation 2, chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. It says, it is of God's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassion fails not. His mercies are new each and every day. Great is his faithfulness. And today we are very thankful for this opportunity we have here to receive nourishment to continue on our Jesus journey. Father God, we come before you humbling ourselves, Lord, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord. What an awesome privilege we have to hear from a man of God, your words to encourage us, to stir our spiritual life, to continue loving you above all things, Lord, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Father, we cannot do this without your love in us. So, Lord, help us to shine you, to love each other. Help us, Lord, that we will remember, Lord, that without you we are nothing, Lord. Lord, the one who do not know you or need to come closer, I pray for them, Lord. I pray for Trent. I pray for Mike that is here also, Anna, Miss Francis. Thank you for Donald that you will continue helping him to continue do your work to add more souls to the kingdom, Lord. And we also want to pray for the people out there who will be in the path of the Patricia hurricane, Lord. We ask you to meet their needs and bless them and keep them strong. Help them to look up, to look to you and be obedient, Lord, because we cannot be wise in our own understanding, Lord. Help them to trust you and lean not on their own understanding, Lord. Lord God, I thank you again. And as we go from this Bible study, but not from your presence, I ask you to be with us and that we will have a wonderful rest of weekend. And until next week, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I just want to say good evening to everyone. And I just want to thank God for you joining us. I pray that God bless and keep you as you go through the weekend. I pray that he cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace so that you may be a light to all those whom you come into contact with. And I invite you to be with us again next week. I'll be doing the study next week again, and same place, same time. And please do invite a friend. Thanks. God bless. And goodbye. Sister Jackie, thanks again for working with us. Have a good evening, everyone.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a song, praising my Savior.